Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
This is our Penn Jillette on Free FM, and that's the Penn Jillette theme being played by the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. I'm playing the upright bass there. And we're penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And we have a very special guest today. I just met him for the first time. He's in Vegas. We're happy about that. We have Matt Drudge.
Hello.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hello, hello.
And you're one of those rare people whose name is becoming separated from you. Is that right? The Drudge Report. Are there some people who don't even know?
Well, they use it, but hold on. They use it as a verb for to drudge things up, which is not correct. It's dredge.
Right.
But you have people like Larry King who are always using drudge. Well, it's in the air. What can you say? It's a website. It's been a website now for 12 years. It's a long time out there before CNN even had a website.
And what got you started?
That's a good question. Not having anything going on in my life.
What did you do before?
CBS Television Gift Shop out in Studio City, California, and I was going nowhere.
Are you from L.A.?
Was living in L.A. for 10 years. I wouldn't get hired. I couldn't get hired. They kept me in the gift shop. I wanted to work at CBS News.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't hire me. They still wouldn't hire me to this day. I don't fit.
And why is that?
I guess I'm not a corporate guy. Mm-hmm. I don't like a boss necessarily. I know what news is. I know what information is. I know what a good story is. So I don't need somebody to come around to tell me no, it's not. I don't need the anchorwoman Katie Couric to tell me that's not the lead story. I know what the lead story is.
But I mean, would you? But Katie Couric could also say that to somebody that she knows what the lead
story is. She will. She will be very soon. So I didn't fit in, but I was interested in media. I got a job. I was an usher at The Price Is Right. Mm-hmm. And then I got transferred over to the gift shop. 8 years later, I still had nothing going on, and my dad took me to Circuit City off Sunset in Vermont on the east side there, and we bought a computer. And I logged on to Prodigy, and I saw the Associated Press wire live, and I said, wow, this is exciting. You don't have to be in a newsroom to read wire services. So from there, and then it was easy to set up a website, and I started posting things, and it literally started with one reader on one day, and between the news groups and everything else and word of mouth and some early hits and stories. It just kept growing, and I'm completely happy on the internet, even though I do radio on the weekend.
You know, I first got an email address in, I guess, 84, 85 on my computer. And I remember just seeing the raw text of these feeds that you could previously only get in radio stations and TV stations and newspapers was this amazing, liberating thing. And then I started trying to read it all. And I think I predicted you appearing in the late 80s, I predicted. Because I said, you need someone that reads all this stuff and then whose point of view we're interested in.
It comes down to that. You're exactly right. We are now in an era right now where there are so many websites and there's so many voices. It comes down to point of view and
exactly.
What is your filter and what do you appreciate and what are your interests?
Well, it's one of the things that I...
The internet is what you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I make it is pornographic.
Oh, okay.
One of my pet peeves with news is the trying to be, pretending to be objective. And that's something that's very new.
I pretend to be interesting.
That's the past 50 years that's happened. You know, the early part, before 50 years ago, newspapers always had a very strong point of view. You know, it was the city Democrat, the city Republican, the city conservative. And then, and they credit this with Hearst, he decided that that they would make more money if they could sell it to both parties, both sides. And then this idea of objective news, and it drives me crazy because I don't know enough. Like when I turn on the TV, I'd much rather have someone say, hi, I'm here with the newscast. I hate George Bush, and here's the news today. Because then you can feel that. Now, with your stuff, it tends to be a little less a political leaning and a little more toward what titillates you. Isn't that right?
Oh, you've got to. I mean, it's all about attracting those eyeballs. And it's interesting to hear you say that because, you know, I've always been labeled as the right wing. The Washington Post early on call me the gossip monger and all the rest. I'm still being marginalized from people who are basically my competitors. And you know this better than anybody. I mean, that's just what this business is about. You two try to define your competitor. They try to define you. And I have always gone for what I have found to be interesting. And where the internet has excelled is basically on facts. Earthquake, 8.3 magnitude, wind speed, 78 miles an hour. I love that because, and the Weather Channel was like this a while, they're now getting kind of softy, human interesty. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
I like facts. I like digits. The internet is the home of that. And I've had this argument from people like Britt Hume who said, well, the internet is kooks like the UFO crowd and the sex crowd. It is what you mean. It is so large. It is saying life is something.
It's also like saying that that newspapers are anything. You know, newspapers are nothing. It's what's in them. You know.
But back to your point.
Marsha McLuhan could not have been more wrong. The media is not the message. The message is the message.
It is for idiots. If the idiots actually spend their time on the internet talking about the internet. It's like talking on the telephone talking about the telephone. It's real problems there. But back to a second. Recently, the museum in Washington, D.C. is closed. But for anybody who does travel to D.C. in the future here, the newseum.
It's a great place.
Oh,
fabulous.
And it shows you the history of news and how the internet basically is doing things that the founders of the business were doing. Big headlines of news that was interesting before the intellectualism of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And now the preaching we are getting from people like Christiane Amanpour at CNN, the preaching, it's preaching that journalism is a religion, journalism is a school. No, it's not. You don't need a license to be a journalist. It is anybody who has a story to tell, and hopefully you're telling it interestingly.
What I found very troublesome was, and I don't remember when this was, must have been the early 90s when Ted Turner still was paying attention to CNN. Ted Turner made this statement that X percentage, I forget the number, X percentage of their programming would be dealing with the environment. And I found that so upsetting because a news organization, you cannot say to me now that the Drudge Report is going to have X percentage to be devoted to anything because you don't know what the news is going to be. And the idea that they're once you've done that, once you've said we're doing X amount of the news to the environment, you are making, even though that sounds all warm and fuzzy and sounds socially conscious, you don't want news to be that socially conscious.
I once saw on C-SPAN an interview with the photo editor of USA Today, and she says every day we represent an African-American, a white, a female, male. What happens if that day the only persons making news are white males?
Or what if they're all black?
Exactly. well, she would argue, no, we want everyone represented. To actually hear her say that, it is similar to that Ted Turner quote. I think Ted Turner ultimately failed, however, because people do hunger for news. And if you look at CNN's ratings, it got lost somewhere in the discussion.
Why isn't there a why do all news organizations on television seem to start out being really interested in news and then go more and more opinion and more fuzzy? Do you have any sort of theory
on that? Yes, because of numbers and Nielsen, and you start seeing what works, and then you want to copy it. So it's has kind of – they've lost their way. News will always be around, obviously. And I do believe the internet is driving still a lot of what we get our information. And also radio. I mean, I'm a big fan of radio because it's the immediate action.
Well, you know, the Gutenberg Press invented the United States. I mean, the United States, the whole Constitution is so completely informed by the idea of freedom of press. Mm. And all the other governments, of course, were frightened by the people having access to anything written in movable type. And the United States said, you know, what the hell? We'll try this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really interesting for the first country that accepts the internet as opposed to having that same kind of wall.
But this is where I'm getting nervous because you're seeing a lot of laws passed.
Oh, I know.
Do this. You can't download this. You can't download that. You can't link to this. You can't say this. Now, we may disagree in a lot of this, and I really am a purist when it comes to the internet. And people have told me we probably have to get rid of slander law and libel law on the internet because you can defend yourself. If someone says something about you, you can respond now. Mm-hmm. The whole libel slander law was you had no ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues here, but I am seeing a creep, especially out of Washington, and now a collection of taxes. The cities are suing websites to collect taxes that weren't paid on hotels that were booked on the internet. I think it's getting very confusing, and if we're heading into a global situation, I'm going to start being collected taxes out of The Hague or out of Rome. I don't know where we're going
now,
with this.
I want to talk about this. Where do you stand on intellectual property?
See, we're going to disagree.
I think we are heavily here.
Heavily, because if I download something, I think that, and if it's available, I'm going to do it. I don't think I If you start limiting what I can download, if there is a song out there from a Warner Brothers, let's say, who, you know, we've seen a lot of their artists fight them. We've seen Prince wear Slave on his face. Why is my conscience to the corporation that is Warner Brothers, and why should I be paying Steve Jobs 99 cents?
Only because you want something. There's nobody saying you have to pay Steve Jobs 99 cents. Mm-hmm. There's no one saying you have to pay for any of that ever if you don't want it.
Yeah.
And that's the important part. That's the part that the argument always seems to forget. If I do if I create a song and you don't want to pay me for it, that's the way the free market works. The problem is that you go to, and maybe this is what you want. If you want 100% amateur musicians and amateur artists, if that's what you're going for, then that's fine. But there are some people who may want somebody who is as talented as Prince to be able to spend their full time making music. Now, the other thing, of course, you postulate is the Grateful Dead principle, which is wonderful for Penn and Teller. Financially, not morally, but financially, we don't care at all how much you bootleg our Showtime show. As a matter of fact, if everybody takes the Showtime show and shows it everywhere, we're thrilled to pieces because we're performing at the Rio. You come to see us. You can't hurt us with bootlegging because we can stop you at the door. But what is the difference between why would you say you can download any song by Madonna and yet we can stop you from walking into our showroom?
Because it's unenforceable to begin
with.
Well,
see, that's a very different issue. I'm not really enforcing.
Well, you're just playing intellectual games then because...
Yes, I am.
Because
but intellectual
you have
games
to be able to enforce, and the RIAA is trying...
Cannot enforce it at all.
Well, they're trying to.
They're trying to, but they can't. And they're enforcing policies. I bet I agree with you 100%. This making examples of people, this doing this, this doing that, is really wrong. But I do believe that there can be right and wrong outside of enforceable.
Then the technology you has cannot, to catch up. The
you
technology
cannot,
has to catch up.
I mean, I just want to address this intellectual game thing. I think that there are many, many moral points that I believe strongly about that I do not think the government should or can enforce. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lie to my daughter. I don't think that the government should enforce that. So it really is a real issue. There are ways that you and I treat each other that we're following a code of conduct that's important outside of the
Very
government.
Much so.
So my ideal, and I mean, this is the real crazy point of view, but I'm a real optimist, is my point of view is make it all downloadable and just say to you, you know, if you download this song, send me a buck. You know, but the you have to be very careful that the enforcement isn't worse than the crime.
Well, and where do you begin? Because the internet is a place of fantasy. And I had this discussion recently with Kim Komando, who is the computer goddess on mm-hmm. the talk radio waves. She had one of the original internet radio shows. She is for the prosecution of what happens in chat rooms. If I play like a little boy or a little girl in sexual fantasy, she is for sting operations.
Yeah,
how do you do that on a global scale? How do you start enforcing people's fantasies? Why can't I be a 2-year-old girl wearing stockings on an AOL chat room? What is that?
Well, also, you are.
Well, and what is it? What does it say about a police officer who is impersonating a preteen?
I had a very good friend who was a defense lawyer, and she was handling a case. A man who eventually committed suicide, who had set up with a 46-year-old FBI guy who was posing as a 15-year-old boy to have sex,
right.
And she had to depose, of course, her client, and she said, of all the people, the person who struck her as a person, not as a lawyer, as the sickest the person who most needed help was the person who was the FBI agent who was pretending to be. These guys bragging about how well they can fake out a 16-year-old. And also on top of that, the argument that I've made is that you don't want to be around a 16-year-old. They're really annoying. So the FBI pretending to be a 16-year-old may actually be more attractive. He may not have the natural defense of annoyance that 16-year-olds have.
But here we had such a pristine atmosphere, virgin, the internet, not many rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you start seeing the code being written and the laws being passed, and you can do this and you can't do that. You can be this person, you can't be that person. We are destroying our innocence once again, as we did with this country, if you look at the code and the tax code and the laws. Why are we in such a hurry? And it's always under the guise of saving children, helping children. And that is such. And now it's terrorism with the monitoring and all the rest. Just back off and be innocent for a while.
Also, it's not just innocence. It's also a kind of true democracy and true fairness. There's a beauty to it that goes even beyond innocent, because there's the beauty of if you use the word innocent, it implies a certain kind of naivete, whereas if you just talk about freedom, that's where the beauty is,
yeah.
That you can do what you want. There's a pure libertarian feeling to the internet that it's self-policing. And self-policing, I don't like that term, because police always use force. So it's self-regulating, and it deals with morality. I love the fact that you can have a chat room where someone is inappropriate and they throw them off. And I know this for a fact, because my wife has been thrown off 5 chat rooms because she is an atheist, and she was on the IVF boards, you know, and the all these IVF support groups for people who are having test tube babies.
Yeah, sure, for people who don't, yeah.
Yeah, the fertility boards. And she would go on, they would say, you know, thank God, after going to these doctors, we finally, thank God. And she would type in, well, besides thanking God, you should also thank the doctors and technology. And they would go, you're off! And as much as it makes me dislike those boards, it makes me love the internet, because that's a beautiful thing.
And it's also their host. That's right, because it's their room to throw you off.
Exactly. It's perfect. It's exactly like a dinner party.
But the problem is now we are having government entities and also activist groups who are going and saying this is right, this is wrong. And quite frankly, I don't think they're going to succeed. We're looking at China. They're jailing people who write, we must have elections. They're throwing them in jail. They're blocking websites. Fools like Google are complying because they want to have a broader reach. To me, they're all going to lose in the end, because there's too many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really, I think, overpower any control. If they start cutting us out at our IP addresses, that's a different story. Then I think you move. I think you you go to different countries. There will be a country left on Earth that has free internet. I hope it's America.
And also, technology always stays ahead, has stayed ahead, mm-hmm. because once you stop the IP addresses and you stop the landlines, soon landlines won't be important. I mean, the G3 idea of wireless will make it so that policing it becomes very, very, very difficult. Of course, the policed area may have more bells and whistles to attract people, but all the same, I'm okay. I'll take, you guys can have all the toys and we'll have the freedom, and we'll see who's happiest after 10 years. I'm totally fine.
Here. And again, so that's why I'm with you. I'm optimistic, because we're actually in the birthing stages of all this. And, you know, I'll come and go. You'll come and go. And the next generation will probably have more fun than we're having.
Oh, the internet hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're in the first 5 years of the Gutenberg press. I mean, the internet was started for medical breakthroughs and for physics. It was started for scientists to share ideas. And while we talk about the stuff that doesn't matter, that is to say news and entertainment, meanwhile, scientists are using this. And the disease that you maybe were going to die of may be cured because of the internet being free. Hmm. And that's something that people forget about a lot, is the fact that up until the mid-'80s, there was a huge amount of unnecessary redundant research. Some research being redundant is necessary. You have to keep testing the same things you're doing to make sure they were right. But once you get to a certain point, being able to tell that there's a person in Holland that did the same test on mosquitoes you're about to do is huge. And that is that is scalable. What works in physics also works, I believe, in social sciences.
Just hopefully it's not fraudulent. As you know, a lot of
course. Well, that's part of why it has to be self-regulated. This is Penn Jillette with Matt Drudge and Michael Godeau. We'll find something else to disagree about after this. Penn Radio on Free FM. Free FM, having a great conversation with Matt Drudge of the Drudge Report. Michael Godeau is here. But as usual, when we have a guest, you kind of lay back.
I sit
you?
Back, yeah.
Have anything you wanted to say from that other section you wanted to throw in? We kind of ran right over you.
We're doing okay.
Okay, good.
I think they're setting up a wireless network in China right now. I believe in Beijing there is already
naive.
A wireless.
Naive.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you what I've heard.
When they can, the thing is, when you can kill people, you know, when the government is another word for force, mm-hmm. for violence, mm-hmm. and when the government is willing to go to kill people, it's very hard to get around that. But, you know, we're talking about, I remember talking to Trey Parker of mm-hmm. South Park, and I said to Trey, we're talking about religion and atheism, and I said to Trey, well, you know, we're going to win. I mean, science will win over religion. And Trey said, yeah, but I don't want to wait 600 years.
And you guys have been hitting some road bumps along the way. And you guys, I'm talking about you scientists, the cloner in South Korea, the fraud,
yeah.
the fake chip maker in China, who they're probably going to hang from Tiananmen Square. There is a lot of fraud in scientists. There's a lot of false promise in...
of course.
You know, and I had a great thrill. One of the best internet stories ever since I've been on were the birth of the first human clone from mm-hmm. the Raelians. Yeah. That, to me, was the perfect marriage of outrageous media, outrageous science coming together with a P.O. box here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And
the Raelians came to our show right after that.
They did? And I'll tell you, they were the front page of every newspaper in Europe. I was in London during that period. That woman, the first birth of the human clone, she was banner headlines. It shows you how gullible the press is. It shows you how gullible science is, quite frankly, in this modern era.
But I believe, I don't think that the word science, I don't think is exactly accurate used that way, how gullible science is. Science is a wonderful peer-reviewed system that works outside of the government. People have to learn that. And this is why I am very against all the FDA rules and all the FCC rules in truth and advertising. I am totally against truth and advertising. Let everyone lie all the time, and the free market will take care of it. Because if Burger King decides to lie and McDonald's decides not to, people will learn that. People learn very quickly who to trust. And you have nothing. You know, you make your living mm-hmm. off the Drudge Report, and you have nothing
but
except
trust.
People trusting
you. Oh, completely.
Nothing. If you put up a fraudulent story created by you all the way through, not one that you're wrong, mm-hmm. not one where you're sucked in, but you just put up one fraudulent story every day for a week, the Drudge Report goes away.
No, exactly. You've got the integrity issue that is so important here in the new century, which, quite frankly, it's always been important. It is, again, a throwback to the beginning, because there are mischief makers. And this is what bugged me during the last election cycle. You had someone named Moby telling the Daily News in New York, let's fill the internet with rumors and falsehoods just to throw off the conservatives. And I was thinking, does that idiot even know what he's saying?
This is Moby, the musician?
Yes. Why would you knowingly – I know what he's doing, mischief making, and let's go down to their level. I know that's what he was probably thinking.
But, let's go down to their level.
Right.
Always a great battle cry.
But the problem is, as you just stated, people can smell real versus unreal. And you really can. You know when someone is being sincere. Eventually.
Well, this is my insane view of politics. And people who listen to this show regularly know that I have the nut point of view. And mostly I have the nut point of view because of idealism. And I believe the last election, Bush and Kerry, what you had was a sincere person who was wrong against a cynical person who you couldn't tell.
Mm.
And I believe that America will choose sincerity over cynicism even when the result is wrong. And what bothered me about Kerry so much was that everybody seemed to have secret deals with him. What I mean is, not real ones. Imagine secret deals. I had a good friend who said to me, oh, yeah, Kerry says he's for the war, but he doesn't really mean it. He says he's for the death penalty, but he doesn't really mean it. And I said, well, how do you have this deal with Kerry?
A lot like Hillary right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Hillary's got this great campaign going because she goes as right wing as she possibly can, and then the Democrats can't vote against her. You know,
They're saying she's just doing that to get votes.
Exactly. Oh, that's what I mean. They'll just do that.
Well, but also, you know, early on, Kerry ran into trouble with the Botox question, and he said, Botox, what is that? Those were key moments, and I argued this from the beginning, that was one of the major faux pas of that entire election cycle, is Kerry wouldn't even tell the truth about Botox. And that hurt him, and that was picked up wide and far. And you would say, well, the elections don't turn on things like that. I think you just said it more eloquently than I just did, is people saw through.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I have much, you know, I am as hardcore an atheist as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet my respect and my love and my trust is much more with fundamentalists who state their case, do not change it, hang tough with it. I can talk with them. I can have an exchange of ideas. Mm-hmm. The people that are kind of whatever is convenient, the buffet Catholics who say, oh, yes, the Pope is the direct ear to God, but I'm okay with abortion.
Yeah.
What? I have much more. And I think with Bush, although I disagree with him on everything,
And he's paying the price now because so many are disagreeing with him on everything.
There's something nice about I don't believe he's as cynical as Clinton was. I mean, I think Clinton, we never know and we'll never know what Clinton believed. And with Bush, I think we do know what he believed. And it's this weird position I'm in where I almost want to defend the sincerity, but disagree with all the content.
It is kind of a shame it's been reduced to that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Terrible. But I think
you're picking up the scraps of any form of integrity in that town. And, I didn't go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year for the first time in 11 years because I had that same feeling which you're conveying here. It feels redundant. It feels these aren't the best times in that town.
Now, I want to talk. I'm going to do a little change of subject. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a huge fan of Google. With full disclosure, I have several very close friends. Probably my closest friend is very high up at Google. And I just love the spirit of that. And there's something really interesting. The two things I look at, the two things that are on my favorites list across the top, is Google News and I have the Drudge Report. And I love the differences. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the differences, and then I want you to talk about them. As you know, the Google News is done without human intervention. It just goes through, looks for keywords. There's an algorithm. It pulls it out, and it goes through. And all it tells you is not this is what's most interesting. It tells you of the X number of news sources we have, and that number changes all the time. These are what most papers are talking about. So the bias is built in as the bias of every paper put together. And you kind of hope that the aggregate gives you some sort of truth of it. And then on that one end, all the people speaking through a computer to say what's more interesting with Google News, you then have it weighed with the Drudge Report, which has this real humanity and real bias. Mm. And the one complaint I have about the Drudge Report, it is the mirror complaint I have with Google. I want that to be more sterile. I want Google to be as sterile and out of it as possible. And I want you to just show us a little more about what you're feeling.
Oh, no. Because most of the time I don't know what I'm feeling. I mean, I am responding to volcanic eruption in Indonesia. Uh-huh. I don't know what the hell I feel about that.
Oh, good. That's,
and dollar falls to lowest levels since 1997. I don't know what I feel about that. So I don't know if I can help you in that regard. I really just go for what's interesting. They would call it cynically, he goes for what he can sell. That's not it at all. Because a lot of the things I talk about aren't sellable. I mean, I've been rallying behind cameras everywhere, and there's a few in this studio right now.
You're for the Transparent Society type idea?
I'm against cameras everywhere.
Oh, I'm totally for it.
Okay. Well, we'll disagree, but I've been headlining all that stuff. That's not a sellable a marketing ploy on my behalf.
But
I just want to find it interesting.
Yet it is. There's nothing bad about saying sellable. When someone says it's positive.
No, that's a different issue, but that's not what's motivating me. It's going with what's interesting, the pulse. You know, you said something about Google, and to be fair, you know, I've been critical of them. I don't think their company's worth $115 billion. All the rest, I think that's ludicrous.
It's more than I have on me.
Well,
So I'm not
see Dr. Koop and ask him how much his company was worth at its height and how much it ended up being worth. But that's a different issue. And also they're kowtowing to China and all the rest. But and also the preachy environmentalism from them, it gets to be a little much. But I felt that way about Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, too. I mean, at a certain point, you lose your authority to comment on everything under the sun as an equal to what you were your expertise is. Mm-hmm. But I have found Google to be make a lot of mistakes on their page. They lead sometimes with advertisement. Rita Cosby, 9 p.m. MSNBC as the lead headline.
Right. And that to me is a
that's embarrassing.
But also that is an algorithm to be fixed. And that's the nice thing about Google is the fact that it does pop up with a headline. The fact that it isn't that it makes mistakes. If I were going to fake Google News, I would certainly put that in there because that's what makes it seem so real and so much like an algorithm to me, which I do believe it is. But I'm just saying if you're going to fake it, you'd certainly put that
in. So when you check them as when you check me, you think you are tapping into a pulse of sorts.
Not a pulse. There are built-in and I'm using this word incorrectly, I think, but built-in prejudices because they are – and they won't tell us what the algorithms are because they really can't. That's what they're selling. That's their business, how they search through.
You find them obviously leaning towards corporate main press entities.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, they have to. And they have to weigh it that way just because there's more of it. And I think that an interesting question – let's just say there's no internet, but both of us have all the information in the world right in our brains, and we're going to have a conversation. One thing I might want to know is, out of all the newspapers in the world today, what's the headline they're using the most?
Yeah.
That's one question. Second question I want to ask is, what do you think's the most interesting? And both of those questions are really interesting. And if you look at my favorites page, it is just Google Drudge blog lines.
But okay, but say, for example, the morning Saddam Hussein was captured in his underwear out of the UK Sun, the Murdoch rag. That was an important story. It was a big story. That wouldn't have led Google News. It wouldn't have led it in an hour, 2 hours.
No,
maybe
no,
when the
not.
AP picked it up, it would have bounced up
little
bit.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So, that's why you got to have both.
Well,
that's why you need to have both. I think that comparing Drudge Report to Google, as I started this whole conversation, is flawed in itself because there are two distinctly different things.
It's my ability to move something up fast that they are not building into because they're waiting for the establishment to make it rise.
And there's also something valid in that. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau and Matt Drudge. Woohoo! At Penn Radio, this is Free FM. We're going to be back. We'll be back. I mean, very likely we'll be back. I can't guarantee, but most likely we'll be back. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM. That's the Mike Jones Massive Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme. We got horns and everything. We also got Matt Drudge. We've just been we've been chatting about what the internet means and what news means. Now you'd had a TV show for a while
on Fox, on Fox News before it was really Fox News. Yeah, I used to do it. We used to wear a pork pie hat and do Walter Winchell, and I enjoyed it. But TV again is not the right genre for me. I don't like makeup. I never wore makeup on the show.
Makeup is we could talk a lot about it. My whole battle in television has been not to wear makeup.
Yeah.
And if you go on Bill Maher's show,
he's fully made up.
Like an inch and a half. Yeah. So I always like to go on his shows totally unmade up, so you can just see this is what a person looks like, and this is what Bill looks like. But
there's some executives in New York that run around in full makeup on the streets. Go studio to studio.
Some of them got to do that.
So TV to me, while we had some success on it, to me, I was also flying from LA to New York and all the rest. I was living in LA at the time. It was not the right atmosphere for me because radio was much easier. It is for me. I grew up on radio, and the internet is the ultimate freedom because there's no boss. And
exactly.
What you see on the Drudge Report is 100% pure what I want you to see. No interference at all. On television, they put chyrons. You don't have control on that. Camera angles, you can't be a maniac and control every camera angle they take, the lighting and all the rest. I'll never forget Ann Coulter once going on my table and fixing the lighting because she couldn't stand the way she looked. Because there's so many elements where on the internet you really can't control exactly how things.
Ann Coulter and Al Franken are the same person. Is that correct?
Who has more book sales? I don't know.
I don't know. I want to talk a little bit about when all is said and done, where do you feel your politics rest? Not with the Drudge Report, not the politics of the Drudge Report, which I really understand you're going for interesting, and you do a fine job at that. But where do your politics sit?
I probably would lean much more towards lower taxes, ultimate freedom. I'm not one of these things where 911 changed much in my life. It just didn't. I live down in an island in Miami Beach. It didn't change me. And I'm probably being naive on that. I think the 16,000 murders a year in this country are a problem. There are a lot of issues.
It's a very small number.
16,000 murders?
Very small number. 300 million people.
Okay, but then why do they make a big deal that 15,000 died in terrorism last year?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the priorities are a little screwed up.
Very small numbers.
So I probably am leaning much towards a right-wing type situation. But even saying that, I'm kind of cringing because I'm looking at Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, the White House, and government has grown. And the tax rates, well, maybe I got a little break being in the top. Not much. It's kind of scary to me that this was the alternative. This was it. You had Democrat control when I was a kid, and now you've got Republican control, and you have to wonder, where's the difference?
Yeah, I'm of the opinion, being the nut, that that there's no difference at all. You know,
the growth continues.
I just watched, I just heard you making what I believe is a mistake that people make in watching the news, and I find it really interesting because you are the person who's most susceptible to this particular problem. Everything in the world is getting better all the time, and we can prove that. And things are really, really good. And I believe that the biggest challenge to modern people is to be able to take in all the news and filter through that and say, what do these numbers mean? Is 16,000 a big number or a small number? I remember having a girlfriend in New York, and we'd get the New York Times, which I know neither one of us like. We'd get the New York Times. You just read through it to make sure you're filled with anger to prove you're alive, as Christopher Hitchens pointed out. But she would look at this and say, I can't read the New York Times because I can't stand that all this bad stuff is happening in the world. And my answer would always be, there's another way to look at this. This is all the bad news this team could find in 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I look at the Drudge Report and I see this is all the bad stuff, you know, we have to have a major article about alligator attacks because they're so rare, you know. And the murders, you know, the homicide division in South Central L.A. had to close one of their offices because there were so few homicides. Mm. The amount of bad, you know, people talking about how dangerous it is to raise kids today, I always argue with them with one word, polio. I'm raising two kids, and I don't have to worry about polio. Yes, maybe I have to worry about methamphetamine. I have to worry about the, you know, internet prowlers. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about polio. You know, polio, I don't have to worry about.
Well, it's a refreshing outlook. The problem is, again, that's you've decided as a worldview, that is how you're seeing things. There are people who are in pain. There are people in situations.
Of course.
And so that probably is a constant. But I agree with you. Look at what's happening in this town we're broadcasting from Vegas, the growth. A whole city has been created since you've lived here. I'm thinking of Phoenix. I'm thinking of Miami. This is we are living in boom times. This is comparable to when New York was born. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't get covered in the press because it's not great news, all the rest. So I agree with you. I mean,
but I want to make it very clear what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I am not saying that the news gatherers should change one iota. But people have to learn that that there's more information in one issue of the New York Times than 300 years ago you would have gotten in your life.
Right. So don't take that as that things are getting worse. It's just you've had more information.
You have more information about what's bad. And that doesn't mean that every single thing that's bad you shouldn't be working
on. Well, freeze. I think this is global warming to a T because Al Gore now is trying to convince us with this movie release that things are getting worse for weather. No, we're just more aware of the weather because
bear pig.
And we have temperature gauges in places we never did. We have ocean wave gauges in places we never did. Polar cap gauge. So to use the argument, well, things are changing. No, we're only aware of.
Well, it's the same thing with the amount of cancer and diseases. You know, people are living longer, and we have better reports. We find out this stuff, but things are very, very good. I want to hit one thing because we have a limited amount of time with you. How many people have pointed out that you talk exactly like Albert Brooks?
Oh, I don't know. That you're the first one. You are the first one.
Wow. That was perfect. You nailed Albert Brooks on that.
I came out here to get my redemption. That's right. Wow.
You talk exactly like Albert Brooks.
I have James L. Brooks.
I'm just calling you.
I have James L. Brooks in my ear right now, as a matter of fact. I don't know. One other quick thing about this information flow. Bono has taken over one of the UK internet. But did you see the headline? No news today.
Yeah.
So it is. It depends who the editor is. It goes back to our original premise.
Yeah, the whole Bono.
But hold on. He announces no news today. So it goes back to what we said at the opening of this broadcast. It is who's behind it. If you're an editor, it is what you make it.
Right, right. I actually think that was Bono took over that. You're being very, very slow on this. Bono took over that about 3 weeks ago.
And it's spreading.
It's spreading. We're gonna have
others take over. This is the beginning. Imagine a celebrity taking over newspapers.
You've probably covered this many, many times in interviews. And forgive me, I don't know it. Mm-hmm. How do you go about gathering the news? What is the actual hour by hour thing that you do without giving away trade
secrets? There's no premise. I woke up this morning very early. I first check the AP, the Reuters, the AFP, the Xinhua, the Itar Tass. Then I go over to check the Press Association. From there, I move towards the newspaper. From there, I go to my email. It's constant.
Now, how much of the stuff that you're getting, what percentage? I mean, just make it up, of course, mm-hmm. like all percentages.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of stuff is coming from email that no one else does have? What's part of stuff you're
gleaning? Well, more and more, since everybody's online now, there are tips. In my local newspaper today, there was a story someone, a Hispanic, shot a Waffle House after fighting over whites yelling at him. It's obscure information in Heartland being brought to a national. Mm-hmm. That is more and more happening, and I think that's fascinating because you take that more on a global scale. Small town in Italy doing this. So a lot of my stuff isn't original that Karl Rove is facing indictment, sources tell me. It's much more my local newspapers reporting this and then raising the awareness, which is just as interesting. So
sure.
my role has changed from the beginning, Lewinsky in the Oval Office with the blue stained dress and the cigars, to much more, hey, this is happening in my local area.
And how many emails do you get a day?
Oh, tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah, and I'm the only one who reads them, and I just have a good filter. I delete thousands at a time. You know, the great thing about our software and our processors is the computer hard drives can do so much so fast, mm-hmm. almost faster than the brain. So I have no problem consuming hundreds of bytes of information per second, and I can sort of gauge, since I've been doing it long enough, what's hot.
Uh-huh. Wow. And that's what people are paying for is that knowledge.
It's a sensibility also to take a chance and to have the foresight to know, you know what, and I don't have a corporate glaze over me. I do not have to take my marching orders from a Time Warner establishment mm-hmm. to push product, to push theory, to push Ted Turner's wish we have this amount a day on this topic. You really just go where the action is, and that's been my success story. And to anybody else in their endeavor, that's what you must do.
Yeah, and for me, all I'm trying to do is please CBS. That's my goal. It's been such a pleasure
same.
Talking to you. Anything else you want to send out to Penn Jillette listeners on CBS FM? I guess, you know, I'm always tempted. I'm kind of it's my duty when I have people on to give web addresses. But is there anyone that doesn't know Drudge Report?
Well, there's different Drudges now. There's Drudge Retort, Drudge Confort, Fudge, Sludge, Grudge. There's all these different things. It's just drudgereport.com. And again, it is a labor of love. 12 years later, a lot like what you're doing. We're doing it because we want to do it.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.